for the church here and for you, dear people. It's been a good week, has it not? I pray you've gotten a little something out of what God has said to us this week as we've looked at just some highlights of what Paul said to his young preacher boy as he was trying to instruct him and encourage him and strengthen him and help him in the ministry, because the ministry is not a rosy path on a parade in front of the world. It is a war. It's a battlefield. Ministry is a battlefield. It's a place where we battle day in and day out. Not with flesh and blood. That ain't where our fight's at. Our fight's with that principality power and all that stuff. That is, you know, the wickedness in high places and all that stuff. You say, preacher, how in the world can you win the battle? Make up your mind you already did. Are you saved or ain't you? So you done won. Now all you got to do is just fight the skirmishes till we get to the house. That's all there is to that. Amen. Your captain's in front of you. Don't fear. He's there. You look up. It's like when you watch Israel come out of Egypt. There was two people they were looking at. They was looking at the back of Moses as he walked out, and they was looking at the back of God as Moses followed God. It was God that brought Israel out of Egypt. It wasn't Moses. It was God that did that. And it's God that leads you and I. But sometimes in our humanity, we forget that, and we get all boggled up and messed up and self-centered, and we just don't think good sometimes. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, and then we're going to chapter 3 again tonight. I got something here for you I believe will help you. Let's stand together. He's right. Let's stand together and look at something, and then we're going to get done here, and then we're going downstairs and chow down. Amen. And some of us has got sinus troubles. We're not eating ice cream, okay? Dairy product, yeah, ice cream. Then dairy products will tear your sinuses up. I just wanted to tell you that right now. So whoever wants to could eat mine, because I need my sinuses for next week, okay? And by the way, you're invited down to King's Ferry if you want to come. And it ain't hard. Go down 90, turn right on 34B, turn left on Atwater. You're right there. And if you'd like to come, it's 45 minutes from here, and we're start at 7 o'clock every night. And we even feed you after church down there again. Amen. So you come be with us if you can. Paul to Timothy. Now look in chapter 3 with me. At the 13th and 14th verse. Paul to Timothy. 3:13 says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Remember, he told him in verse 8 of the first chapter, there's going to be some afflictions of the gospel. Well, here they are. Evil men. Notice it didn't just say wicked men. Wicked is a mild form of evil. Evil, when you get somebody that's evil, you better back away from them. You better sick God on them, amen, if they're evil. Wicked, you know, the whole world lies in wickedness. But there are evil people in this earth. And they'll do anything in their power to shut you and I down, I promise you. But look what Paul does when he encourages his young man. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast heard and hast been assured of." Notice, not just in what you've heard, but in what's been proven, assured of, proven. Love, listen, don't just believe everything you hear. It may not be right. Well, who do I ask about it? Jeremiah or Isaiah or Jesus or Paul or Peter? They'd be the men to ask. You found them. You know where they're at. You know where all they live. Come on. Preacher, I don't call you. I might not give you the right answer. And I'm not going to do it on purpose, but I'm just telling you. These men have the right answer. These counselors. God says, but continue down to things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. You see, is he bragging on himself? No. There's an underlying principle in Timothy's life here, and I'm going to give it to you after I pray. Heavenly Father, help me now one more time to preach, Lord, to this great church and these dear people the unsearchable riches of this book. There ain't no way under the sun we could ever even scratch the surface of this book. Thank you for it. Thank you for its instruction in righteousness and holiness. Thank you for its corrective power and its conviction. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the one who wrote it. May he tonight be able to walk in and out of these seats, deal in the hearts and minds of every one of us, our God, starting at the pulpit, going all the way to the nursery. Help us, our Father, tonight as we one more time watch the Apostle Paul encourage and train and try to keep enthused his young preacher boy, Timothy. Heavenly Father, I still again pray that, Lord, two of these ladies would take on Miss Nancy. I pray, Heavenly Father, that two of these men would take on the other young Christian men that are around, Father, and just start raising up some people. And Father, I pray that tonight, our God, we would all hear from the other world. Let us, our God, hear you tonight, we pray. May souls be saved and the saints be helped. In Jesus' name we praise you. Amen, my Father. Amen. You may be seated, family. There's an underlying thing in 1 and 2 Timothy. As Paul is talking to his young preacher boy there, it's not wrote down in the text. It's not on the page in front of you. It's not written in black letters on white paper in front of you, but it's there just the same. Timothy wanted to know. You can't teach people that don't want to know. Now stay with me. Two books, two letters, two epistles. And nowhere in this does Timothy bail out. That's enough. That's all I can take. I can't handle more. I ain't got but three cells in my brain. They're overloaded now. I don't want no more. Paul, be quiet, be quiet. No, nowhere in the book do you see that. He absorbs every bit of that. Love my, listen to me. We have got to be willing to receive the instruction of that book all the time. Amen. Timothy was a willing student. Timothy wanted to learn how to do it right. And he had a great teacher named Paul. He needed to know, my dear family, what to do when. And you can put anything you want to behind that. And he had a great teacher named Paul. Paul, since Acts chapter 9, has gone through every kind of a situation you could think of in the ministry and lived through it. He had gotten to the place, listen to me now, where he was just about ready to be done with what's going on. Remember there in the text where he said, I have finished my course? You said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying we all have a course to run. We all have, if you will, that which God has given us. And you said, preacher, I want to know what it is that I got to do, what it is that I got to deal with, and how should I work it? Well, let's see if we can figure out what God wants to say to us in that. You said, preacher, what are you trying to tell me? According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto glory and virtue. Peter said in 2 Peter that according to God's divine power, we've got everything we need to live. Everything. Life, that's your normal daily husband, wife, work, raise babies, mow the yard, get rained on, life. And godliness. Now, dear family, that's not two lives. That's one life. And that's where you and I mess up sometimes if we're not careful. We got this life and we got this life. And sometimes Young folks, they get married and then the babies start coming. Now there's a third split. Because all of you parents know that children take up 36 hours of every day. Come on, you'll get that in a minute. What do you say, preacher? I'm saying, my dear family, a lot of times we get this all dissected to the place, and then we got to figure out, okay, now, Lord, how much energy do I get to do this? And how much power do I get to do this? And how much do I have to do this? And God says, whoa, wait a minute, why are you dividing everything? Keep it all together. You ain't got but one life. It's the Christian life. You're a Christian at life, you're a Christian at raising, you're a Christian at mowing, you're a Christian in the rain, you're a Christian in the sun, you're a Christian at the shop, you're a Christian at the house, you're a Christian at the... Come on, you're a Christian no matter what you're doing, child of God. There is not two lives, there's one life. And God gives you in that one life the power that you need. So He's telling Timothy, I want you to understand something, buddy. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to finish what you start. That's tonight's hit for you. Finish what you start. We are living in a land of quitters. They give up on this, they give up on that. The first time you ruffle their feathers, they give up on you. You say, preacher, what do we need? What we need is a bunch of people with some stamina to them. We need some men, all right? Males of the species, I'm talking to you. We need some men that won't act like women when it ain't going our way. Don't get mad at me, girls. Men, we have been effeminized in America for the last 30, 40 years. We carry our little feelings on our shoulders, and God forbid if somebody knocks them off. Men, we were not built with the emotional income as the woman was. We have emotion, but we ain't like them. It's on purpose. All right? Somewhere along the line, somebody needs to man up. And you women need to lady up. There comes a time even in a lady's life where she is no longer offended every time one hair blows the wrong way on her head. We need to raise our youngins, and listen, that really isn't that devastating. Love, listen to me. Our daughter, bless her heart, I love her to death, but that baby can make a mountain out of the most nothing you've ever seen in your life. That's just the way she is. You say, what's wrong with her? She's just unstable as she can be about that stuff. Everything's a catastrophe. When I got that cancer, I mean, you should have seen her. She was a basket. I'm laying there in bed, all messed up, and she's the basket case. What are you saying? I'm saying we need to grow in such a way where we can finish what we start. Is anybody going to heaven besides me? Huh? You saved by the grace of God? Do you think you're going to make it? Sometimes I wonder. We don't think we're going to make it. Well, my goodness, Lord, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? God says you're going to come to heaven. I'm not talking about that, Lord. I'm talking about now. I'm talking about now. What am I supposed to do? God says, come on to heaven. Lord, now you know I ain't coming to heaven yet. What am I supposed to do? God says, finish. What I have begun in you, I want you to finish. I finish what I began in you. Now you finish what I began in you. Did you hear that? That's what he said. And as you and I realize this Christian life is the best gift we ever had, it just behooves us to finish it out. It just behooves us to just keep going. It might not be a party today. It might be rough as a cob. It might be a misery. And listen to me, my love. You and I ain't suffered yet.
Yeah, come on. Come on. Yeah.
Preacher, somebody said something about me on Facebook, and your whole world's crashed. Why is that? Ain't you tougher than that? You know what most of us needs? I'll say us, okay? You know what most of us needs? We need a good dose of snake bite. We need to be shipwrecked. I'm not begging God for persecution. I'm just telling you. We need to be shipwrecked, soaking wet, gathering sticks,
and get snake bit. He said, no. I said, whoa, preacher, no, I don't want nothing like that. Listen to me. Everybody was huddling around the fire on that shipwreck except Paul. You know what he was doing? He was ministering to everybody else. Was he cold? Was he wet? Did he just come out of the sea? Shows you're living. But he had a promise from God. He said, Paul, yeah, Lord, you're going to Rome. Okay. Good. So it doesn't matter what happens between now and Rome? No, sir, I'm going to Rome. Paul, you know you're in trouble? No, I ain't. I'm going to Rome. Hey, Paul, you know it ain't going to make it? Yeah, you're crazy. I'm going to Rome. Hey, Paul, the storm's going to sink us. No, it ain't. We're going to Rome. Paul had a promise he carried in his heart. God Almighty told him he's going to Rome. You and I are doing better than that. We ain't going to Rome, hallelujah. We're going to heaven, hallelujah. Now, you're going to take that promise and be able to get through from here to there? He said, preacher, I don't know if I can or not. If you're a snake bit, you would. He just shucked it off into the fire and felt no harm. How can you do that? How can you get snake bit and not hurt? Who said it didn't hurt? Come on, love. Who said it didn't hurt? Who said it didn't have a hole in his hand? Two of them. But he didn't swell up and die. And that's what he's talking about. And you ain't going to swell up and die either. You may have holes in your hand. You may be cold and wet. You may be happen to be the only one ministering to the entire people. But are you going to heaven when you die?
Amen.
Timothy, yeah, Paul, what do you want me to do? I want you to continue. I want you to keep going. It's kind of like that hold fast message, but it's a little different. I want you to keep on going. Look with me, please, if you will, in verse chapter 3, verse 1 and following. I want you to see, first of all, we need to just keep on going because of the people that's all around us. Look at your Bible. Chapter 3, verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. The Apostle Paul, writing this epistle to Timothy, is prophesying of the day you and I are living in. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. Boy, ain't that the truth. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For this sort are they which creep into houses, lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away of divers lusts, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And then he names a couple of them. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, you remember them stories, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further. You know what he's saying? He's saying this is all they have. This is all they've got. This is all they're ever going to do. For their folly shall be manifest unto all men as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, look at the example, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch and at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. He said, Timothy, I want you to look at the people all around you. Now here's the bad side. Here's the crowd that don't love God. Here's the crowd that hates God. Here's the religious crowd who pretends they love God, but in essence they actually hate God. Here's a crowd that's really educated. They're smart as a whip, but they're dumber than a sled because they have no clue who Jesus Christ really is. And look at all the people. And now I want you to understand something. They ain't going no further than they are right now. They have stopped. They're at their limit. They are now at a halt in their life. But I want you to realize something else. There's the other side of this.
You know my manner of life. You know how I've lived. You know what I've lived through. You know how I've done. You know where I've been and who I've been around and all the different things. I've told you. I've showed you. I've manifested Jesus Christ and all this. He said, listen. He said, in all of them the Lord delivered me. Now, Timothy, here's the deal. Who do you want to be with? Who do you want to finish with? You want to finish with this crowd that's anti-God? You want to finish with this crowd that's pro-God? Timothy, I want you to study the people. Have you ever gone to a mall and sit down on a bench in the hallway? Boy, it proves that God has a sense of humor. I mean, there is a diverse group of people on this earth, my dear family. I'm in every size, shape, and form. I'm telling you, what it proved to me one day was this. There is somebody for everybody, no matter who everybody is. Most amazing thing in all the world. Go to a mall and watch people. It's amazing. I laugh. I sit there and she's in the store looking at something or other, if I go in at all. Most of the time I just stay in the truck. But she goes in, or I might go in if I do, and I'm sitting there on the bench while she's doing her deal, because I don't walk in floors to kill my back. And so I'm sitting there on the bench and I'm watching. Don't get mad at me, girls, all right? I've watched girls ran slam into posts walking down the hall. I am. I'm sitting there. You laugh, but they're looking at the reflection in that window, looking at the self, checking their self out. And what's funny is they turn around and see if anybody's looking, and I'm staring right at them. It's just embarrassing to death. They get red as a mater. It's unbelievable. But the cutest thing is a couple of folks that left last week. He's 96 and she's 91. He's carrying her purse. They're holding hands going down through the aisle. They left last week. They just got to the mall. They finally get there. They go to the one store. They buy one little old trinket, and then 3 weeks later, they finally get home. It's the cutest thing you ever seen. I love it. People. Timothy, I'm telling you, boy, there's some people. There are some people. There's some lost and the ungodly. And then there's us. Now, Timothy, I want you to finish. I want you to continue thou in all things which you have heard. But I want you to do this, son. I want you to remember, you don't just finish. You got to finish right. Amen. We're losing that in our churches today. There is a multitude, and I don't know anything about your great city, but I'm telling you point blank, there's a ton of folk right over here somewhere that used to be in church. Might not have been this one, but they used to be in some kind of a church somewhere. And some, you know, somebody put a burr up under their saddle, or somebody, you know, did, or, you know, what really probably drove most of them out was somebody had the audacity to sit in their seat. Oh, listen, I've been told to get up and move. And I fixed all that. You don't never have nobody fighting over the front row, no how. Oh, yeah, but they've been in church someplace, and they're not going to finish right. You see, preacher, they saved. I don't know if they're saved or not, but they're not going to finish right. And the Apostle Paul is trying to get Timothy. He said, I want you to continue now in the things which thou hast learned and hast been, add this now to here, I think, hast been assured of. You're going to learn good and bad in life. You got to give a lot more good to it. You got to put a lot more. You parents need to do something with your youngins, all right? You need to watch them youngins closely. Amen. If your youngin is in the government project, you need to go every once in a while and you need to see what they're being taught. Amen. Preacher ain't allowed. That's the first red light. Preacher, I'm not allowed past the office door in the school. That's the gate coming down. The bells are ringing. Amen. What do you do, preacher? Well, if the kid gets out of there without being locked up, don't take him back. What? You heard me. My dear family, there's at least two generations on the ground right now that know not God. Right. Amen. Two. All right? Third one's coming on. They get in these areas of indoctrination, and the first thing to do is get rid of authority. They get rid of authority, every authority, all authority, get rid of all authority. You are in charge of your life, nobody else. Not mommy, not daddy, not nobody. That's why here in recent years we've had such an absolute hatred for the police of our day. That's why they got this idea that they could go through there and shoot a cop. Shoot a policeman. Take a policeman out. Listen, in Nolens years ago, it was part of the gang initiation to take a female black policewoman out. If you do that, you can get in my gang. And they were killing cops right and left. You said, what are you saying? I'm saying, my dear family, there's been an attack on authority by the one who hates authority the most. As he leads the lost off the cliff into the damned, he, my dear family, rebelled against authority in yon year. Now he's training people on the earth to rebel against authority of all kinds. And my dear family, listen to me, they're going to train and teach everybody they can against the ways of God Almighty. The winds of time are not blowing towards heaven, they're blowing away from heaven. The winds of time are not blowing towards God Almighty, they're blowing away from God Almighty. And if God doesn't come pretty quick, there's going to be a whole nother generation on the earth that hates God, hates church, hates authority, hates everything that's decent and right. How do you stop it, preacher? You continue in the things that thou hast heard and be assured of. You take the people that's around you, even if they're just your little people, and you show them the truth and show them this is what God says and this is how Jesus wants you to be. And you keep putting that in there and putting that in there and putting that in there and putting that in there. You say, preacher, I don't know if it'll work. Let me ask you something. How many times have you told your kid one-on-ones too? One-on-one's two, baby. One-on-one is two. One-on-one, two. One-on-one is two. One-on-one is two. And you'll do that until they get it. Jesus and the Bible gives you salvation. Jesus and the Bible gives you salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is what being saved is. Jesus and the Bible and salvation and all this is in God, and God wants you to have it. And Jesus and the Bible and God and all this is for your salvation, so that you can be blessed when you get up and get older. You can be blessed and you can live for Jesus when you get to be a teenager. You can live for Jesus when you're 20 years old. And Jesus will give you a husband and a wife when it's time. And Jesus will give you a good job. And Jesus will keep you in the house of God. And Jesus will teach you how to read the Bible. And Jesus will end your life one day. And Jesus will take you home to heaven one day. It's Jesus that you need, son. It's Jesus, my girl.
Amen.
We'll one and one till they're two, until they're blue in the face. We need a pound and pound and pound the Savior into them. Why? Because the principle's the same. Then little sponges need educated. And somebody's going to educate them. Come on now. Somebody. Timothy. Yeah, Paul. I want you to see people. There's the lost and the undone, and there's us saved folk. I want you to continue what you've heard and what you're assured of. Timothy, I want to know something right now. Is the lost lost? Yes. Is us saved folk saved? Yes. Are we absolutely perfect without sin? No. Do we mess up? Yes. Do we stay messed up? No. Do we get back up under the blood of Jesus? Yes. Do we go on again? Yes. Does a good man fall seven times and get back up again? Yes. That's the assurance. Secondly, not only people, my family, but verse 12 clearly says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There's going to be not only people around, Timothy, but there's going to be persecutions. I told you, there's going to be afflictions in the gospel. There's going to be hard times in the gospel. Now notice what he shows him up there in the verse previous to that. He talks about Antioch, where the Holy Ghost called him and Barnabas to the work. He talks about Iconium, and it talks about Lystra. You remember what happened at Lystra? He got stoned to death. Then he got back up and did what? Continued in the things that he had learned. He had learned them from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Jesus Christ taught Paul. I know he sat at the feet of Gamaliel and learned the Old Testament. I understand that. But I'm telling you, life he learned from Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And you and I, my dear family, need to learn all we can learn about the Son of God and how He lived and what He did in His living to people and around people, because one of these days you and I might have to own up to the fact that we're saved. We might have to admit we're Christians. But y'all don't understand that. Yeah, you do. See, it ain't hard now. We don't even have to tell anybody. And I'm not trying to scare you or make you feel bad or anything like that, but I'm telling you point blank. If we keep treating Jesus Christ the way He's being treated in America, He may get some Philistines or some Chaldeans to come and deal with us.
That's Bible, brother.
Ah, oh, preacher, I can take it. You won't take it when they put the gun to your baby's head. When they tie your wife to a post. Come on, big, strong, tough guy. Sitting inside the house of God. I can handle it. We have no clue what we can handle until it happens to us. God forbid it happens. God forbid they grab this young soldier right here and start dealing with him in front of us. Says, you renounce Christ or else. The religious world has done it for years in Europe. The religious world. The RC crowd killed ain't no telling how many people. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, my dear family, they that live godly will suffer persecution. Timothy, I want you to understand something, son. This is not going to be a smooth ride. It's going to be more like a buckboard with square wheels. I mean, it's going to be rough, son. There ain't going to be no padding on the seat. Son, I want you to understand something right now. If you're going to live for God, you better realize you're going to have to pay the price. Are you willing, son, to pay the price? I see nowhere in them two epistles where he quit. I see nowhere in the book of Acts where Timothy bailed out. I watched John Mark bail out once. He bailed out, but then, praise the Lord, he come back. Amen. And there are times when you and I just kind of leaning. But boy, we better get back up and put ourselves back in it. Yeah. We better hang right back on again. You say, why, preacher? Because one of these days, my dear family, we're going to the finish line and give an account of what we did in our Christian walk. And as God Almighty looks us in the eye, there's going to be no stories told. It's going to be all truth. Everything, my dear family, is going to come out. Are you listening to me, church? Timothy, I want you to understand something. You've got to finish what you start. Did you start your Christian life? Yes, sir. Did you start living for God? Yes, sir. I've been trying to instruct you on how it's going to be and what you need to do day in and day out and day in and day out. I want you to watch people now. I want you to understand the persecutions. Chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. I want you now, son, to understand the power that'll help you finish. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead in His appearing and His kingdom. I charge thee before God. I charge thee who shall judge. That's all you need to know. Amen. That's enough power to stay at it. I'm going to go face God and I'm going to give an account of my life to God. That's enough right there to make you never quit. Ah, preacher, it's tough. It ain't near as tough as you think it is.
Amen.
The tough part is because you're trying to live two lives. I told you this the other day. You're trying to live your human life and your spiritual life. You got to put that thing in one. You only have one life to live. This life is to give to God Almighty every stitch of it, every hour of it, every minute of it, every piece of it. The power of our continuance, the power of our steadfastness, the power of being unmovable, if you will, like it says in that Corinth text. My dear family, the power thereof is that one day I will face Him who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now we rejoice in that. But we need to also rejoice in the fact that we're not just going to see Jesus as Savior, but we're going to go see Jesus as Judge. The lost are only going to go see Jesus as Judge. Now, He is the Savior of all men, especially them that believe. Don't get me wrong. But that don't mean He's their Savior just because He is the Savior. Until they repent and trust Christ by the faith of God, they're not saved by any means. And every one of us is going to face Him. And in that facing God, my dear family, listen to me, it ought to behoove us, it ought to move us, it ought to motivate us to love Him and honor Him and obey Him and stay with this thing at His appearing and His kingdom. Timothy, what I want you to do, son, is I want you to understand something. You have power. And I'm charging you before God with that power. Here's how you can stay with it, buddy. Here's how it'll keep you and you won't quit. Just before you do quit, think of this. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Then quit. Oh, no. I can't. That's right. Listen to me, love. Listen to me. If you can quit your Christian life, do it. I love when I see question marks everywhere.
Preacher, what's it what?
If you can quit living for God, who loved you, and suffered and bled and died and rose and has been walking with you and around you and for you, if you can give that up, go ahead. Preacher, that's retarded. Exactly. How could you ever even think of it? How could we ever even begin to contemplate that in our little three sub brains? Quit God? Leave the Lord? That also includes His men? That also includes His church? That also includes His Bible? Stay with me now, I'm starting to get toward you. That also includes His prayer times? That also includes the closet that you and He meet in to talk together? If you can quit Jesus Christ, then do it. But you're going to step over the Holy Ghost to do it. You're going to step up what you've already learned about God to do it. Come on, stay with me. Can you step over the Holy Ghost and quit on Jesus? Can you step over the Word of God and give up on Christ? Can you just take the Bible and throw it in the ditch and forget about it all? See, preacher, I believe I could. There's somebody in you that will not let you forget anything you've already heard. You may not recall it right now, but I promise you, if you get this idea, I'm done with this. Brother T, I'm done with this. I've had all this I can take. I'm out of here. The Holy One inside says, really? Do you honestly think you're getting away from me? We promised you when we moved in we wasn't leaving.
Amen. Thank the Lord.
You go ahead and try it. Well, what will you do? I'll take you to the house. You're not bringing disgrace to me. You're not going to put my name in the mud, drag my holiness through the mud of this world. No, sir. You'll repent and get right, or you'll come to house. Preacher, where you get all that? Hey, Lot. Hey, Lot. You drug my name through the mud down there long enough. You kept your mouth shut. You messed up down there long enough. You're out of there. He brought him out. Got him up yonder there and brought him out of that. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, my dear family, if you can possibly quit on Jesus Christ, I double dog dare you to try it. Because there's somebody inside of you that won't let you if you're truly saved.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
Now, if you can quit, I'd check up.
That's good.
I've watched them do it. I've watched them leave the house of God, leave the Lord, leave this, leave that, and be gone for a long, long time. And people say, boy, he is sure bachelor on Jesus. And I think, well, where's the Holy Ghost?
Right.
You mean you can keep the Holy Ghost quiet for 10, 15, 20 years?
That's right.
You mean to tell me that the Holy Ghost of God done on the inside of that man's heart, that woman's heart, 15, 20, 30 years down the road? You mean to tell me they could get to Jesus Christ at 10, 12, 14 years old and then live like a dog for 50 years and then just before they're ready to die say, oh, thank God I'm saved. I've just been bachelored all this time. Do you honestly believe that? If you do, you don't believe that book, right? It's impossible. You got it. There's a Holy One inside of the believer. He will not let us leave. I told you the other day, you ain't allowed to leave. I told you, you ain't allowed to do the things that people say they're doing for... You ain't allowed to do that as a child of God. Now, people do it for a short spell of time, don't get me wrong, but they ain't allowed to do that for a length of time. And my God will not let that happen.
Amen.
Timothy, yes, Paul. I want you to continue. I want you to finish. I want you to stay with it. There's people, there's persecution, there's the power to live for God. And then lastly this. Timothy, I want you to finish this thing because I want you to make your own portrait. See, my dear family, if there was a massive artist, a good artist, that would come and paint our portrait on a big canvas, okay? If you come down to Old Time Baptist Church, they got an artist down there. I mean, Sister Rude is, I mean, she's special. She's just really special. And Brother Lou, old Brother Lou, before he died, on the new church, he wanted a mural on the wall of some special occasion of Old Time Baptist Church. And so Sister Rude said, well, what do you want? He said, I don't know what I want. He said, I want a big mural on the wall down there, and I want to depict one of the great happenings of our church. And somewhere, sometime during some of the meetings in the tent, somebody had snapped a picture of an altar call where there's just, honestly, hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of people laying in the grass crying out to God for help. Somebody took a picture of that. And Sister Rude found that picture somewhere and showed it to Brother Lou. He said, that's exactly what I want right there. That's what I want. And so Sister Rude took, I don't know how long, just slowly but surely. And you can even tell who they are that's kneeling down. It's amazing, the picture. The tent, the chairs, the people, the pulpit, the preacher standing at the pulpit, everything's on that mural. It's a beautiful portrait, painting. If they did that to us, if they took a portrait of me, if they made a portrait of me, what would it look like? If they took a portrait of you, what would it look like? I'm not talking about your physical features. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your spiritual features. I'm talking about that which God sees all the time that we keep camouflaged in this body. The stuff in here that God sees. See, the Apostle Paul in Galatians 2:20 told the Galatian church there that he wasn't the one living. It was Christ in him living. Galatians 2:20. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. What Paul was saying to the Galatian church is, I'm not living. It's Him in me living. The picture of the Apostle Paul was supposed to be a picture of Jesus Christ living through him. He tries to get us to understand these things. Go to Philippians chapter 1. Let me show you something over here. In Philippians chapter 1, this is what Paul said in the 21st verse of Philippians chapter 1. He said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. That's what he told the church of Philippi. He told the church at Galatia, he said, it's not me living, it's Jesus. He told the church of Philippi, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He tries to get us to understand, my dear family, that there ought to be a Christ-like resemblance in all of us. Is that not what Romans teaches about being conformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ? We're not putting on robes and sandals and walk with... No, that's not the portrait. That's not the picture. The picture is an inward beauty of Christ Jesus that is to radiate through every one of His believers. And Paul was radiating that picture. He was radiating, if you will, that resemblance of the Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul would walk, it would be like Christ walking. Our Savior on the cross said it was finished because He had finished, as John 17 says, I have finished the work Thou gavest me to do. Christ had came and finished His course. Christ had came and continued, if you will, please. And He had not stopped. He had set His face like a flint. He had gone on all the way for you and me. And that picture is a picture that everybody ought to see when they look at us. As they look at the hard times going through, and they look at us still standing, the winds are blowing, the rains are falling, the sands are blowing, the trees are about breaking over, but yet right in the middle of the storm, there stands you and me. Everybody else is blowing away and blowing off and blowing apart, but here are you and I, just standing right there, just like a bull. He said, but what are you saying? I'm saying sometimes the wind blows us a little crooked, but when the wind stops, we stand right back up for God of many. We are, my dear family, a portrait of Christ Jesus. Amen. And Christ never stopped, and Christ never quit. Paul never did anything. He went all the way to chopping block. He is still preaching even tonight. Paul's still preaching, my dear family, from the pulpits of America, all over the place. Paul's still preaching. The picture of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Bible says, my dear family, in Hebrews 4. Go there with me, please. Hebrews chapter 4. Look at verse 14 and 15, please. God's Bible says these words, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but it was all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Paul's trying to tell Timothy there's a picture of Christ sitting at the throne of grace. There's a picture of Christ that has mercy. There's a picture of Christ that has grace to help in time of need. And we're living in a world, by their family, that is in great need. We're living in a world that has some kind of have a desire for some kind of stability, but they can't find it. They can't find it in churches sometimes. They can't find it in the government, no time. They can't find it in their own minds. They can't find it in their heads. They can't find it in their jobs. Come on now. They can't find it in their hearts and their health. They can't find it in their wives. And they can't find it in their husbands. And they can't find it in their money. And they can't find it in this. And they can't find it in that. And there's a throne there with the Savior sitting. And He said, listen, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. We ought to be the picture of that rest. Amen. Not going crazy because the world's nuts. Right. Right. Just continuing. Just keep on going. What are you doing? I'm heading to heaven. Yeah. What's going on in your life? I'm on my way home. Where's home? Heaven. So what? I thought you lived in Virginia. Yeah, I know, but I'm going to heaven. Just keep going. It's a picture. It's a picture that they need to see. It's a portrait that they need to see. Timothy, yeah, Paul, I want you to continue in the things that thou hast heard and that are assured of. Timothy, this is what I want you to do, son. I want you to just keep on going, and I'll meet you on the other side.
Amen.
I want you to keep on going, son, and I'll meet you on the other side. What do you say, Brother Don? Well, what have we learned this week, church? I've only hit a few hot spots. But what have we learned? We've learned with an unwritten hand, unwritten words, that Timothy was a willing student. Two epistles. The instructions are coming, he's just pulling it in, pulling it in, pulling it in. We learned it in his learning, my dear family. He had one of the greatest teachers there ever was, who had experienced most of all that we experience in life and lived through it. He said, I've finished my course. We've learned that that young man could then pick up the baton, or if you want to go back to the Old Testament, reach down and pick up the mantle, sling it over his shoulder, walk back to the river of life and say, where's the God of Elijah? And every one of us have been trained by somebody and are still being trained by somebody and need to train somebody, because one day this old hillbilly ain't going to be on it no more. And the mantle's going to hit the ground. And there needs to be a Timothy somewhere.
That's good, preacher.
Amen. This says, I'll never be him. Timothy never tried to be Paul. And Paul never tried to make Timothy into a Paul.
That's right.
Amen. Study those two epistles. He wanted to be his own man, but he wanted him to do it right.
That's good. Amen.
There's only ever been one Jack Wood, even though there was a Jackie. There's never been a second Apostle Paul. There's never been a second Lester Roloff. There's never been another Spurgeon, another Finney, another Billy Sunday. Oh, the name might be the same. But when Billy Sunday dropped his mantle, nobody picked it up. Some Timothy needs to get that mantle. Say, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to obey God. I'm going to take what I've learned and what I've tested. It's true. It's proved. It's right. It's God. And by God's grace and God's help, I'm going to live for God the rest of my days. And whether I go by death or whether I go by the rapture of the church, I'm going to finish this life, this gift that God gave me. And between this May Day and heaven, I know not what a day may bring forth. But I know whom I believed. And I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him. I believe it'll be all right in the end. But my God has promised me eternal life. I ain't never going to perish. I ain't never going to die or go to hell. I'm going to finish this, Lord. If you give me a little help now, I've come to the throne to get it. I need some help. I want to finish what you've blessed me with, the Christian life. I want to come home gaining rewards and not losing. And I need me a little help right here. My emotions are messed up. My attitude's messed up. I said the wrong things to the wrong people at the wrong time, and I've hurt their feelings. I've been unfaithful and untrue, and Lord, I need some help. I need, God, your help. And God sits on a throne with His arms outstretched and says, come. I'll take care of all that. One drop of my blood is enough to cleanse you from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
Child of the King, you can finish what you started if you want to. Tough sometimes, ain't it? We need some Timothys tonight to make up their mind. I'm going to finish this. I'm going to finish my Christian walk. I'm going to do it right. I'm not only going to finish my Christian walk, but I'm going to finish it right. I'm going to go through my ups and my downs. I'm going to go through my briar patches and my mountain tops. I'm going to swim my rivers and cross my marshes. I'm going to hurt. I'm going to be misery. I'm going to have troubles. But I am determined to finish my Christian life. I'm determined to do it. We need some people in here tonight just determined. I'm going to stay as faithful as I can stay. I'm going to love as much as I can love. I'm going to give as much as I can give. I'm going to live for God. Preacher, I'm having a hard time doing that. No, child of God, you're not. Don't give in to the tempter. Just make up your mind, I'm going to do this. I'm going to live for God. Look at God while you're sitting there and while you're kneeled at the altar. Just look at God in your heart and say, God, you can count on me. But you're going to have to help me. You're going to have to help me. He will help you. Preacher, I'm not saved. I can't finish a Christian life I never started. Would you pray for me? I'd be glad to do it. Would you raise your hand and admit tonight that you're not God's child? Preacher, I've never had a relationship with Jesus. I don't know Him as my personal Lord and Savior. Would you pray for me? I'd be glad to do it because I love you. Raise your hand. Let me pray for you. I'm not saved, preacher, and I know it. Not a hand, thank the Lord. Then I guess the Holy One's talking to all you children of God. I'm going to raise my family for Jesus. God, you got to help me. God, I'm going to make a man out of my boy. But you got to help me. Father, I'm going to make a lady out of my little daughter. You got to help me. I want to finish, and I want them to finish. Lord, I want to be a good example to my kids. I want to show them that you're preeminent. I want to show them that you're the top. You're the absolute best. I want to show them that church is vitally important. That the preacher is the greatest man of God I know. God, help me train my children to have respect. I want to finish this thing right. I want to finish this thing right, Lord. Timothy, continue. Don't stop. Don't quit. There's people out there. There's persecutions out there. There's problems out there. But there's prizes out there. There's blessings out there. There's a walk with Jesus that's unmatched. Timothy, don't keep looking at the negative side of everything. There's positive things everywhere. You get to walk with the God of glory. You get to go to heaven when it's over. Don't quit. Don't give up.